Good evening, and welcome to Signs and Seasons with Minister Gabriel Amlak and my co-host, Sister Samara Baruti. And we thank you. And we thank you for joining in, and we're glad that you're able to be with us for this another edition of Signs and Seasons. The purpose of this program, as I explained in our last meeting, is to help us dispel some of the confusion about the purposes of the sciences, what they are designed for, what we can hope to achieve through our study and our exploration of them. In the primary objectives are to eliminate the fearful and superstitious attitudes that many people have towards astrology and related metaphysical teachings. We want to provide information on the constructive uses of these ancient sciences. And to demonstrate the practical value of astrology and numerology, we're going to give on-air callers free mini readings of their personal astronumeric energy profiles. And good evening once again, Sister Samara.
Good evening, Minister Amlak.
And how are you today?
That's fantastic. Thank you. I'm all excited to be here today and to be doing Signs and Seasons with you.
Yes, we're glad that you're here. We want to review once again the information that we did last week on astrology and the Bible. We're going to dedicate this first half of the program to explaining astrology from a biblical point of view, and then we're going to go in to explain, Sister Samara and myself, we're going to talk about the astrology and related metaphysical teachings from a practical, therapeutic point of view. It's hardly ever that you hear astrology and the Bible mentioned in the same voice, unless you have some same breath, unless you have someone condemning the teachings. And this is the only occasion when you hear that. Although we see throughout the Bible, we have many, many instances in which astrology is referred to. As a matter of fact, the number 12 and the number 7 are actually the most repeated numbers in the Bible, along with the number 3. And 7, of course, deals with the 7 planets, 7 chakras, 7 African powers, as they say, and 12 to the 12 signs of the zodiac, our 12-dimensional personalities. And so we want to get clarity on these teachings and see how we can use them to enhance our understanding of the everyday affairs of our life. Astrology, once again, means star language. An understanding of astrological principles give us the ability to read and interpret the signs or symbols that the Creator writes in the ever-changing planetary configurations. And we're going to, in the second half of this program, demonstrate that by callers who will call in, give their names and their dates of birth, and we will give a practical example, myself and Sister Samara, on how these sciences actually work in our everyday lives, because there's so many times, so many instances in which we are not able to, we could actually prevent certain things from happening in our lives if we understood how to use these teachings. So we want to work with that today. So, Signs and Seasons, we hear of in the first, that's actually where we got the name for this program, in the first, in the book of Genesis, where it said, let them be for signs and for seasons, lights in the heavens for signs and for seasons. And that's in the first chapter of Genesis, the 14th verse. And so a sign, an omen, when we look at the different configurations, it tells us what kind of energies are prominent in our zodiac at a particular time. For example, we've had since January the 23rd, I believe, we've had the planet Mars retrograde, which means it slowed down in its motion. And if we understood, and then Mercury went retrograde, and then Saturn was retrograde. And so retrograde motion, these planets apparently slow down, and the energy that they feed into our solar system then also slows down. And so the activities that those planets govern, for example, Mercury deals with communication. So if you have, for the last 2 months, found that you have had instances where these energies were effective and things didn't got lost, letters didn't arrive on time, packages got lost, you didn't understand what the other person was saying as clearly as you generally would, these are Mercury retrograde occurrences. Sister Samara, you've seen this happening over the last 2 months or so in some way or other?
Very much so. And in areas that has to do with communication, my computer has been malfunctioning. So, yes, I definitely see it. So not just human communication, but machines as well malfunction.
And so what we want to do is get more clarity on that. For example, many, many avoidable, devastating accidents or circumstances could be worked with if we understood the energies that were circulating in our solar system at a particular time, devastating situations. And so that's the purpose of this program, to show us how to use these teachings in a positive way. And so once again, we want to remind ourselves that these teachings were a part of the early church. Some religious historians claim that several popes of the early church were astrologers, and yet the study of astrology was generally forbidden by the Catholic Church. Interesting, because the Catholic Church, above all, and I was raised a Catholic, we're not bashing Catholics, but the Catholic Church has more iconic astrological, iconic symbolism than any of the other denominations. And in recent years, however, as a matter of fact, an encyclical was published permitting Catholics to study astrology. And as I said last week, Sister Samara, you commented on, a wise man or woman discerns the correct season and time for his or her activities and mm-hmm. acts accordingly. We check the weather to see what kind of gear we should take with us, what kind of clothing to wear, but we don't use the most important indicators of how to make our days better. So we are told in not only in chapters 1-14, Genesis, but in the 21st chapter of Luke, we're told that there will be great signs in the heavens of these particular days that we're going through. Incidentally, those who are turning their thumbs down on 2012, I was reading today, you may have also seen it, Sister Samara, where they're talking about the thousands of examples of the heat, the solar flares, the solar flames in our solar system at this time, and the unheard of, unprecedented changes, not welcome in the weather, heat. So we can expect a tremendously hot summer. So now, scientists have told us that there is definitely a connection between the zodiacal energies and terrestrial affairs. Dr. Tomaszek of Munich, Germany, and Dr. Gublin of Cambridge University have proven that the various planetary bodies have a profound effect on this planet and its inhabitants. As a matter of fact, they had an article entitled Force Fields and Astral Influences. And they write that the Earth's surface is continually involved in a constantly flowing exchange of gravitational, electric, and magnetic fields. And both of these external from the sun, moon, and planets. And they, of course, have a tremendous electromagnetic effect on the Earth. Modern science is merely rediscovering, of course, and reiterating facts of life that the ancient men and women thought and demonstrated before the slightest notion of Western civilization was concerned. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Science and Seasons with Minister Gabriel Mlock and Samara Baruti, and we are talking about this awesome science of astrology and related teachings, and we're specifically talking today about astrology and the Bible. And it's interesting that you, Sister Samara, and myself were fortunate enough to look beyond all of the taboos about these teachings and to explore anyway. Hmm?
Yes, I have a very curious mind, and I always believed that the answers were there, and I was willing to go and find them myself. As a matter of fact, I believed them more if I did the research and discovered the answers, because then my questions were addressed instead of being spoon-fed what is.
Yeah, well,
so much information out there.
Is that the American Institute of Climatology in Philadelphia also, in conjunction with the police and fire department, major hospitals, conducted a three-year study from 59 to 61 of human reactions to the phase of the moon. And their conclusion were the causes of murder, rape, aggravated assault, and arson are the most common during full moon periods. Additional findings verified also that celestial events like full moon, eclipses, or simply conjunction of certain planets, that they are directly related to the eon count in the atmosphere. And so this is all an interconnected situation. Similar findings were mentioned in A.D. Pulkney's Moon Phases, Suicide and Homicide in the American Journal of Psychiatry, July 1964, and Lunar Effects on Mental Illness. And so, you know, we say, oh, well, you know, the Lord will take this, the Lord will take it. Yes, the Lord will, but the Lord has also given us intelligence to be able to detect and to respond in a constructive way. As a matter of fact, the current rise in psychological disturbances, global warfare, and natural catastrophes is attributed by many astrologers to the present position of the planet Pluto. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we are exploring today. We have for too long thrown away the baby with the wash water. And what we want to do is to discard the wash water. We may even use that for something positive.
Recycle.
Ma'am, what do you say?
Recycle.
Right. But definitely save the baby. The Christian Bible that has a, you know, very, if you understand it symbolically, it's a wonderful book. Gives a lot of valuable information. And they talk about the not being involved in divination. It's interesting, I find, that the word divination, the root of it is divine. So how can something with the root being so holy, the end of the word be placed in such a negative space? Divination or fortune-telling is what is frowned upon, and we'll talk about why later on. But from a Cardinals' point of view, it's a whole different situation. And then you find that many of the people who we respect in science, Isaac Newton, Benjamin Franklin, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Pythagoras, Carl Jung, Shakespeare, many of Shakespeare's plays, as quiet as a cat, were based on astrological teachings, astrological phenomena. Isaac Newton, Third Law of Motion, he was a student of astrology, and interesting, someone said to Halley's comment, they said to him that one of the people in his community, so-called learned, was talking about astrology in a bad way. He said, well, obviously you have not studied the subject, but I have. And that's what many people who condemn it, as you, I'm sure, have found, Sister Samara, that most people that condemn it have done no studying of it. Hmm?
Yes. Ignorance is an amazing thing. And ignorance simply means not having knowledge of something. So, yes. And the defense of the right to be wrong, it's amazing having discussions with people who do not have knowledge and are just resistant to listening, closed-minded. So, yes, I've had that experience.
You know, actually, early on, it was the responsibility of spiritual leaders to impart basic astrological knowledge. You have many of the early, particularly in the Catholic Church again, Oregon was a mystic. He was very much involved in these teachings in the Catholic Church. And so, interestingly enough, the church was assigned the task of teaching people. It was there and show people how we could use this information to direct, to plan, improve the varied aspects of our physical, mental, and spiritual existence. And so it is today, as it was in ancient times, the responsibility of spiritual leaders to instruct the congregation in the proper use of astrology, as outlined in the scriptures. In a very real sense, all due respect, the church is largely to blame for the, or not just the Christian church, Orthodox religions, period, to blame for the abusive ways in which astrology and other teachings have been misused in ancient and modern times. And so, because, you know, as I'm sure you've seen, tomorrow, when you deal with people, when they delve into these teachings, the accuracy of these teachings is so profound that they can't resist sneaking under the desk and reading it through the horoscope.
Hmm? Well, I don't have proof, but I believe that the church and the Catholic Church and other church members at the higher levels, I believe they use astrology, numerology, and all of the esoteric sciences. I just believe they don't share it with their congregation. So,
Most definitely. You're absolutely correct about that. And there is, you know, there are some books that we can share, in which explore together, in which they definitely indicate, you know, all the so-called Masonic teachings and
exactly.
You know, the all of it. It's all there. And but
yes.
But like you're hinting at, the teachings are used by those in power so they can remain in power. At least they think that's the way they should do that.
And also they're developed over time, a belief that it's for the privileged, educated, elite group. And so it became mystery teachings. You have to go through these initiations to be exposed to this type of knowledge. So I think partially that is part of the reason that the masses have been kept from this knowledge. They might have believed that only the highly educated elite are entitled to this kind of information so they can continue to rule and lead because they're qualified.
Just brought something to mind that I was reading and studying that I got from one of our good associates, one of my best friends, Brother Leon Collins, who we're going to have on the show at some point. And it was on the cardinal principles. And without going too far into that, it's an article on written by a lady on America Revised, and she talks about how the approach to education was revised in the early part of the 19th century, and it was revised away from training the mind to conditioning people. So we'll talk about that at some point, but you brought that to my mind just now.
Sure.
And I was wondering how we could breeze that into the show at some point, okay? You know, in one of our shows. Okay.
Yes. Minister, I'm like, you are a fascinating person, and you have spent years being disciplined in your studies and research and mastering your level of knowledge as a metaphysician. So I would love to spend some time today and just get a deeper understanding of the esoteric science, the metaphysical teachings that you have mastered.
Thank you.
Yes.
And we're going to do that. It's now 11, it's 5:20, so we're going to, after the next 10 minutes, not only explore that shortly. I just want to close one thought on here, that astrology is essentially a science, a system of character analysis. It's a profound psychological system that identifies the vocation, the temperament, the physical constitution, the talents and major life challenges, by analyzing the quality and quantity of astrological energies taken in with the child's first breath at the moment of birth. And so we're inviting listeners to call in, and at the bottom of the hour, in the next 10 minutes, and we will be delighted to give you some information on your individual astrological signs. Okay, you were going to share with us some of the information, Sister Lamar, some of the questions on the mail that you have been receiving.
We actually had a wonderful response last week to our show, and in response to that program on astrology and the Bible, we received several emails. As is usually the case, most of the inquiries were on astrology. However, there were some specific questions relative to the metaphysical teachings of the Kabbalah, numerology, palmistry, and Tarot. And so I would love to spend some time with you just asking some questions and getting a deeper understanding myself, sharing with our listening audiences a deeper understanding of what the metaphysical sciences of the Kabbalah, numerology, palmistry, and Tarot, which we've touched upon lightly. So, you are the perfect person to assist us in that. So one of the questions that I'd like to direct at you, Mr. Minister Amlak, is which of the esoteric science would you say is the most popular in the world today?
Well, from all indications, astrology is by far the most popular and consequently is the most abused because people do not know that much about the teachings. And, you know, what happens is when you give a person a little bit of information in, let's say, in a consultation and it's accurate, then it opens them up. And if the reader is not a person that has integrity about the teachings, then they just have a ball after that. But yes, the astrology is the most popular.
Yes. You know, I'd love to have you just spend a moment and explain what is the word esoteric and what is the esoteric sciences. I know I gave some name, but so people can understand, it might be a new word for some people, esoteric.
Right. Esoteric means, as you indicated before, with the manner in which these teachings are generally dealt with, is for the select few. But it was meant for those people who had went through the proper training and who had the spiritual consciousness to appreciate the teachings. Another word that is very, very misunderstood is metaphysical. Metaphysical meaning, from a dictionary point of view, a study of the underlying principles. And so whether a person is a cosmetologist, a culinary artist, an astrologer, a dentist, and if they're mastered their skills, then they are working at the metaphysical level of those particular areas.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like going to elementary school, where you go to middle school and then high school and college and so on, right?
Right, so by that time you should understand the metaphysics of whatever subject you are studying.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So then, what was the original purpose of astrological teachings? Did it have an original purpose?
Right, the original purpose was to help people understand the physics of their personality, meaning the energies of their unique personality, since every individual's energy field is as unique as their fingerprint, because light travels 186,000 miles a second. So even twins have a totally different energy field based on how fast the speed of light is. And so the purpose was to help people understand what their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual their dispositions were, so they could find what vocation that they are best suited for. And, of course, vocation means to call. So each person's energy field tells you what they were called to based on their unique energy pattern.
Mm-hmm. So twins are not actually identical. It's almost impossible for them to be identical based on your description, huh?
Right, because what happens is, if you have a trend, and that's why the names come in, as we were discussing earlier on, you and I, the name is so handy, because when you, I'm kind of turned off to people who have to name their children Junior, give them their own name, because that's another block, but you can get beyond it. But with twins, if they're born 2 or 3 minutes apart, then 1 minute apart, then if light changes 186,000 miles a second, then you can imagine how many frequencies have changed between the time that one took a breath and the other took a breath.
That makes sense, because the cosmos is constantly in movement, so that makes a lot of sense. So you touched upon a little bit about the church and why they generally condemn astrology. Is there something else you'd like to say for more clarification?
Well, just that it's a power struggle, and generally what the religious institutions did, once they got involved into a particular culture, they would condemn whatever the systems were that people were using independently to enhance their understanding. They would say they were wicked and then take them over. So, for control.
And you mentioned that the Bible actually does not condemn astrology, but the Bible condemns divination. Why would the Bible condemn? I mean, it comes from the word divine, or there's a relationship with the word divine. I thought all things divine was good.
Mm. You know, see what happens. Again, the Bible condemns astrology, they actually condemn fortune telling, and fortune telling shouldn't be called divination, but fortune telling is illegitimate, because what it does is you can read a person's chart and you can see in their chart that next week there may be a problem with finances, or there may be a problem with, they may be accident prone, but if you don't tell them it in the way, but you know, if you tell a person, well, you know, you should really be more economical with your money during this next 3 or 4 months, rather than you're going to go bankrupt. Or, you know, it would be best if you're more into defensive driving over the next month or so, rather than we're going to have an accident. Because what that does is it prones the person's mind, and they'll actually make those things happen. Impel, not compel. Yes.
So it's being responsible with the information that you gather on that person.
Thank you. This is a very intense responsibility, and though people don't know it, but karmically you have to pay for what you tell people.
Wow.
And so
a lot of us are in for karma. Okay, including me. Okay. Does the knowledge of the esoteric sciences have any practical value to someone who wants to understand the scriptures, who wants to understand their holy book, their Bible?
Yes, it does, and I have a call coming in, but I'm on the air, so I'm asking them to call back in about a half an hour or so. So what's happening? They can actually tune in to BBS Radio online and hear the program right now. So what's happening is, the question that you ask is, the answer is that people cannot understand the scriptures in their depth without understanding what this astrological symbolism. Jacob's and his 12 brothers, the 12 tribes of Israel, Jonah, for example, in the belly for 3 days. This is ridiculous if you take it literally, but if you understand that it represents 3 phases, 3 cycles, if you understand that the 4 beasts in the book of Revelations represent the 4 fixed signs of the zodiac, then you can really read into, if you understand what each disciple's sign was. Philip was a Sagittarian, Thomas, was a Gemini. Okay.
And Thomas.
And if you understand it, then it gives you a deeper realization. And that's why most intelligent people do not really. One young Caucasian brother I was working with in Brooklyn one time, working for the Army as a vocational counselor, and he said to me, and I was doing charts under the table, right? while I was interviewing with the orthodox ways of trying to find out what their skill should be. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, the more I went to school, the less I went to church.
Mm.
And it was because he wasn't getting the insight. It's 5:30 here on Signs and Seasons, BBS Radio, with Minister Gabrielle Lott and Sister Samara. And we are going to take a 2 minute, a 1 minute break. And we'll be back with you with part two of today's program. And you stay right there, okay? We are going to get even more interesting and practical. And we're going to have someone come, some callers call in. And we're going to demonstrate how these teachings work from a practical point of view. And we're going to give you, do you have those phone numbers handy, Sister Samara?
Let's see.
Okay.
I can get them for you in
okay,
one moment.
And we'll, and you can call in, and we will give you a practical.
Well, you can call toll-free 888-627-6008 anywhere from the U.S. and Canada. And the second number is 530-413-4522. If the toll-free number is busy, then you can use the second line, but we prefer 888-627-6008, anywhere in the U.S. and our neighbor up north, Canada.
Okay, and so we're going to give you a profile with your, give us your name and your date of birth, and we'll give you a mini profile on your astronumeric energies. We will be right back. Brother Don, we are ready to go to this break.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
And Samara, and we are back with Samara Baruchi, my co-host on Signs and Seasons, on this lovely Monday afternoon, at least in California. It's a lovely day, and we are talking about astrology. The practical and therapeutic aspects. Sister Samara, are you there with me?
Yes, I am. And yes. You just left me just thinking about the fact that I believe that Jonah was in the whale for 3 days, and you just kind of smashed my belief and said, oh, no, it's not real. But, okay, I forgive you. And,
no,
but
thank
I do
you.
Have a question.
Yes.
I do have a question in numerology.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the science of numbers originate?
You know, that was actually my first interest, or my first. It's hard to say which it is because I got involved in these teachings in 1962. But I believe it was the science of numbers that I first became most proficient at. And the science of numbers, interestingly enough, is said to have originated in the temples of Egypt. It was brought to the Western world, actually, believe it or not, by Pythagoras. And I say believe it or not because this Greek sage, who was considered to be a master mathematician, trained in the Egyptian mystery system, that's not often mentioned. They usually take him back to studying, I believe, you know, in the Greek tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But a very interesting point to consider is that although his theories are taught in schools around the world, under the heading of the Pythagorean theorem, it's never mentioned that he was an adept in the esoteric sciences and actually founded a renowned academy of occult teachings, Pythagoras. Yes, so I want our listeners to please remember that.
Yeah, it's taught in geometry, right? And I believe that his mystery school studied music and math, and it was open to both men and women. So women and astronomy, and women were included in his mystery school. So yay, Pythagoras.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was. It may have been Pythagoras, but one of the great sages who actually admitted that his masters, most of his valuable teaching came from women. So that's something that we can talk about. We do address that, ladies and gentlemen, in our new book, The Superior Aspects of Women, which we'll Sister Samara will share with us near the end of the show and tell you how you can get a copy. Yes. So the question is,
how does the science of numbers actually work?
You know, they thought that at the time of conception, that the child hovering around the parents, the child's aura intuits what name that the family should pick for that child, because each letter of the name, each letter of the alphabet, is exciting a numerical vibration. And so the numerical value of a person's name and birthday is calculated and interpreted to determine the individual's personality, their temperament, their vocation, their latent talents and abilities, and the major life challenges that that person will have to encounter and overcome.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But again, nothing compels.
Awesome. So we choose our name? Is that what you're saying? We actually choose our own name? Are you actually saying we choose our own name?
Right. That's good. That's a great point. Yes, because, and you know, like people will tell you, I didn't ask to come here. That's not real. We all asked to come here. Because if you see, the astrology chart is so telling, the numerology chart, because it tells you right there that what traits the person has brought with them, what kind of family he or she will be attracted to, and what kind of karma he or she has chosen to deal with in a particular incarnation. I think I remember hearing Les Brown and Tony Robbins, is it? It's not what happens to us, but how we respond to what happens to us. And if we understand that we set it in motion, then we, of course, we're acting a totally different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel much more empowered knowing that I had a say in my life instead of it just randomly happened and I hadn't, and I have got no control, because then I believe if I chose this, I totally control what happens. So that is very empowering for me. Mm-hmm. Now, is there any connection between numerology and the other teachings, such as palmistry or hand reading, tarot reading, astrology? Is there some connection or similarity in these sciences?
You know what happened when I first got involved in 1962, and I was struggling to find out. I had gotten my chart done by a German astrologer on Madison Avenue, New York City, awesome Mr. Mason, goodness gracious, and he had school there. And I went to him, and then I went to a tarot reader, Jerry Owens, the Jewish lady who turned me on to tarot in the Bronx. And then I went to a palmist, whose name I don't remember, from India. And then I went to Yoruba priest, Edward James. And they all gave me the same analysis. And see, because what happens is that whenever someone does a reading, all they're doing is interpreting the person's energy field. Well, the person's energy field is the same no matter who they go to. But it gives you a different point of view, a different perspective. But basically, yes, there's not only a similarity, but if the person who's doing the reading does not have, if they have an understanding of the Kabbalah, of astrology, of numerology, of tarot, you know, as we have been training, yourself and I, then it gives them a more viewpoints to validate. For example, if twins come and it's hard to deal with them from an astrological point of view, then you can go to numerology. If a person comes and doesn't have the time of birth, you can go to numerology. You get my point?
Yes, and so truth is truth.
So, yes, they all tie, huh?
Truth is truth.
Okay.
Truth does not contradict itself.
Mm-hmm. Even someone who's reading the tea leaves is dealing with the same energies emanating. When someone throws curry shells, let's say, in front of someone to give them a reading, the curry shells bounce off of the same aura that told the person what to name the child. And so it's all, they're reading the same energy in different ways.
So,
and there's 541 here on BBS Radio with Minister Gabriel Luck and Sister Samar Baruti. So we're 19 minutes away. We're going to give that phone number out one more time, Sister Samara, for people
Absolutely.
To call in.
So that number is 888-627-6008, anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, or 530-413-4522. That's the second line. And,
I want to also mention that if people want to call in, two things. Remember that the program is on audio and in our archives, and so you may want to listen to it again or refer someone that you know to listen to it. And if someone wants to have an interview who's involved in some, you know, progressive enterprise or profession, they can call or email Sister Samara, and an arrangement will be made. Yes, Sister Samara.
So one last question. You mentioned that astrology sometimes can be abused. Can numerology also be abused? Numbers seem so clean and clear.
Right, because what happens is, well, like I said earlier on, as soon as you see people outside these particular storefronts saying, okay, reading for $10, and then the person would tell you one thing that is true because they have a gift or an understanding of the sciences. But then after that, the person is just fair game for the person, the individual who's trying to play with the sciences, not knowing the karmic repercussions. And so some people use them to predict the outcome of the stock market, horse races, trying to determine what one's lucky number is, other fortune-telling devices. And we fail to realize is that if you're really, really plugged into the oracles that work with these systems, it's like I'm not going to go to President Obama and ask him what time it is, you know what I mean, because he's got important business. And so people who play with the oracles or the fate of the people come to get readings, they can do this, but it's very detrimental. So these are some of the ways. Asking who slept with my husband or my wife, that's not something that you ask these divine people. When questions are asked, you would ask, as far as the spiritual development of these two individuals, would it be good for them to get married? Is it going to enhance their spiritual development? Mm.
I wanted to win that lottery that was over $600 million last week. I really did. It feels like it was a good thing to do.
We have a call. Okay, hold on. We'll get it. What I want to say just on that point before we take the call, it's just tomorrow at 544. What I wanted to say is that, but it depends. If you went and you knew that on a particular day, a particular planet was here or there, and you said, okay, I'm going to use this money that I win to build a church, to help the women in the Congo, all depends on where the person's consciousness is.
We have
someone on the line waiting for a call. Yes, you want to say something real quick?
No.
You sure? Okay. We'll save the tarot for next time. You were going to ask questions about that. We can hit that right quick just to make it cover it all. You want to ask something on that?
If you could tell me two things about the system of palmistry and the tarot, but first the tarot. I would love to know. I know that's a really old science, and we have the results of the play index.
Okay, in the last 15 minutes, we have...
What is the highest use of the tarot?
Okay, the tarot has three major purposes. It is used to preserve... It is a 78-page book, and I'm coming, Doug, to the column. It is a 78-page book of pictures, and the pictures were used to preserve the esoteric teachings, to train students in the ancient wisdom, and lastly, but certainly not least, it is used to open our intuition. It does so by drawing information to our brain cells. Once we have these cards in our brain cells, we draw it from the ethers down into our consciousness. Now, the system of palmistry interprets the lines imprinted on the hands from the nerve endings leading from the brain. And these lines form patterns that reveal talents, temperament, sickness, health, and the possible duration of one's lifeline. Lastly, palmistry is a system that interprets energy patterns, and since energy patterns is electromagnetic, possible to perceive the kind of people and circumstances that specific energy patterns will attract into a person's life, and we're going to go through the phone. Yes.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Who's on? Doug, you got some voice for us?
Good evening, Minister.
Good evening. Good evening. And who am I speaking to?
I understand. My name is Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Ushery.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to get a reading.
Okay. You have a middle name?
Eugene.
Eugene?
Yes.
E-U-G-N-E. Okay, sir. And your date of birth is?
May 28, 1948.
528? 48?
Yeah.
Okay, so what that tells us, that tells us, number one, that you were born on a one day. And a person who's born on a one day is an independent, pioneering leadership improvisational type individual. Can you, in all honesty, describe yourself as fitting that description?
Yes, quite well.
Okay, now what it is this year for you is 5 and 1 is 6. So this year is a 1 year for you, and we get that from your day and your month. And so a 1 year is that would tell us that last year was a 9 year. Last year meaning your last birthday, okay? The year preceding up to your last birthday was a 9 year, and so that was a year of letting go of lessons in detachment. And so usually what happens then is someone close to the individual will make the transition, you know, something that they need to transition out of. Can you identify with that kind of situation happening from 2010 to 2011? That kind of lesson?
Yes, I can. In fact, I had some events happen to me during 2011 where I had to kind of console myself. I had a younger brother pass, and
Means, and I'm moving along, we've got 10 minutes to go, what I want to share, which is what that means then, is that means it's time in that person's life. You know, like the Bible says, a time and a season for everything under the heaven. So during that 9 year, that was a year of you learning how to let go, transition,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's interesting mathematically in place everything is. One of the lessons that you have to deal with in your life energy being born on your particular birthday, which is May the 28th?
Yes.
Does that make you a Gemini, right?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, good. My co-host knows someone who's a Gemini.
I'm a Gemini.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Gemini.
I love being a Gemini.
I was on the radio in D.C., and one time... The co-host, the director of the program said, "I'm not ashamed of Jesus." So you're not ashamed of being a Gemini. Great.
No, it's right. Great being a Gemini.
Now, the thing here is that this gives you, Brother Albert, a very intense, like I said before, independent energy pattern. One of the things that you work with in your chart is that you have to understand that you have a very disciplinary, no-nonsense, get-it-done, hard taskmaster energy. Is that you?
I would like for it to be me, but I'm not sure if I fit that bill yet.
Okay, no, but I'm saying, do people describe you as being a hard taskmaster? Do people describe you as an organizational, supervisory kind of person?
Yes, those things.
That's what I'm saying, okay.
But being a Gemini, I usually see both sides of things, so.
Right, that's one part. The part that really makes that prominent in you is that you have a strong Libra energy in your chart. You have Libra in Neptune in Libra. And so being a strong Libra type, and see, because what happens is we often identify, in these last 4 minutes on the air, we often identify with traits of in our energies that really be assigned to some other sign in our makeup. So the fact that you always want to balance the scales, right?
Yes.
That's Libra. But the interesting thing, if you don't mind me saying this, is that you also have a very soft inner core. And so people would not know that you are as gentle and feeling and emotional as you are. Is that generally been the case with you?
Yes. They usually consider me, they would rather be my friend than my enemy.
Okay.
But I don't make a lot of enemies.
Well, what I'm saying is, but there's a very soft, emotional side to you, mothering, nurturing side, that people may not see when they know you at first. Is that the case?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I guess I hide it well.
Sir?
I guess.
He hides it.
Right. Okay, but it's there because you have energy cancer in your chart.
You know, in this society,
it's out now.
It's out. Everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about it. Okay, listen, sir. We have 2 minutes to go. I want to thank you for calling in. If you want to call in and get more information, my number is 404-441-7248. Our websites are where you can check. Just go to BBS Radio, and you'll get all of our information from there. It's 5:53, and we want to close out this segment. Sister Samara, is there anything that you can say in 60 seconds?
Well, thank you, Mr. Unlock, and I suggest that people do visit BBS Radio and Signs and Seasons and click on and donate so that we can share more and bring more information to you. We've got a donation button right there.
So 5:54, 1 minute to go. Doug is on standby to bring on the next program. Thank you so very much for tuning in. Mars goes direct on the 14th, so it should be in a good place by next week, so get ready to set all your plans into motion that may have been on hold. God bless you. Please refer people to not just Signs and Seasons, but BBS Radio for the unique programming, the unprecedented programming that you'll find on these airwaves. Thanks for tuning in. God bless.
Thank you.
We will see
you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.